van Upington tot Grootdrink, Groblershoop tot Keimoes, Riemvasmaak tot Rooiputs. Radiostasie van die Suidlanders, Radio Grootervier.
Goeienaand en welkom by Radio Grootrivier, radiostasie van die Suidlanders. Jou stem hier uit die Noord-Kaap uit en natuurlik jou kulturele Afrikaanse lekker radiostasie. Nou elke donderdag aand rondom hierdie tyd, dan doen ons 'n lekker segment die Suidlanders gesels, waar ons praat met leiers en hoofde van die Suidlanders om 'n bietjie meer perspektief te kry en agter die skerms uit te vind wat by hierdie organisasie aangaan. En dan vanaand gesels ons weer eens met Simon Roche. Hy is die nasionale departementshoof van buitelands en hy is ook 'n bron van baie kennis wat in die buiteland aan die gang is. Jesus, val ek hier oor my eie woorde. So ja, kom ons kyk gou of ons vir Simon dan in die hande kan kry. Goeienaand Simon, hoe gaan dit?
Ja, dit gaan nogals goed, dankie.
Dat is hy. Marius. Ja, welkom weer eens terug hier by Radio Grootrivier, altyd 'n plesier om jou te hê.
Ag, baie dankie vir jou, Marius, dit is my plesier om hier te wees. Ek het nou hele paar honderd onderhoude gevoer.
Okay.
En ek moet vir jou sê, ek sien nie daarna uit nie. Ek sien nie uit na onderhoud nie. But these Thursday night interviews, I really do look forward to them. So, thank you.
Nee, is 'n groot plesier. Maar Simon, ek het agtergekom, jy was 'n bietjie weg gewees van sosiale media. Ek neem maar aan, jy was ergens heen of iets soos dit. Wil jy vir ons bietjie vertel, wat het jy gedoen?
Ja, Marius, I can't tell much, unfortunately, but it's probably good that people know that I wasn't just, I hadn't just absconded. A friend and I, a Suidlander, actually my landlord, and I went on a mission for Suidlanders deep into the lullies of the, I think you can say lullies, huh? That's not like a...
Nee, you can say.
Okay. Deep into the lullies of the Eastern Cape, and it looks as if it may turn out to be successful. And it wasn't a four-day mission, but you know how things are on farms. You've got to go the day before because it's, you know, it's not next door. It's an hour's drive to get to the place. And then you've got to leave at the crack of dawn the next morning because it's a four-hour drive to get to the place where you... And then you get back after dark, and so you stay over. And I ended up spending almost, not quite, 4 days away from the computer, 4 days away from lots of signal, 4 days in remote areas. And so I wasn't very active. But it was good. It was good. Hopefully it'll reap some rewards. But I'm not the only one on missions. Mr. Miller is on a mission for me at the moment. And I can't talk about it. And I know it's not nice when people allude to things vaguely. You know, no, nobody, that's not very rewarding to hear, but I can't talk about it. But we have been given an incredible opportunity, an enormous, fantastic opportunity, and it's something that I have to handle. And Mr. Miller is trying to enable me to do that for Suidlanders. And I suppose the only thing I can say, I don't know, but I know that some prayerful people are very powerful in prayer. And if anybody would like to pray for this vague thing, I'm really sorry. I'd be grateful if people were keen to pray for Mr. Miller's success. You know, he's kind of the key that unlocks the door. If he's successful on his end, then my end is kind of taken care of. Not to, as my dad would say, build castles in the air, you know, castles with no foundation. But my end will be pretty easy to take care of. The offer is open. The offer is clear. The offer is certain. The offer is from one of the most credible entities in the world of every entity that you can conceive of, one of the most substantial. So, yeah.
Okay.
People are welcome to pray. But other than that, I can't tell you much. I'm back on the farm.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. En hoe gaan dit nou by die plaas nadat jy nou jou skuif gemaak het? Is jy nou weer reg daar? Of ja, hoe gaan dit daar?
Ja, amper reg. My landlord and I are still butting heads a little bit on a few things that I'd like him to do for me, but he's such a classy guy. It's not the end of the world. It's my job to whine. It's his job to ignore me. But for the most part, we sorted out. Internet is sorted out. Running water is sorted out. Electricity is sorted out. food is sorted out. You know, it's a different world. I visited one of the mothers, the two moms of my kids, my three sons, about a year ago, just before I flew to the USA. And she was cooking. I said to her, what are you making for supper? She said, oh, I'm trying this new, I haven't eaten this meat before. I said, what is it? She said, it says here, ribeye. I don't know what that means. I said, well, ribeye is not really known to white people in South Africa because of apartheid. The fore quarter went to the townships. The hind quarter went to the white people. But it is unquestionably worldwide regarded as the finest of steak meats, of the traditional steak meats, you know, rump, sirloin, strip loin, fillet, and ribeye. Ribeye is unquestionably the one with the most flavor and the most marbling. So she said, oh, I'm so excited. And I said to her, what did you pay as a matter of interest? And she showed me the packet, 400 rand a kilogram. It's unbelievable. And I've been whining a lot recently in the dorp, you know, in front of Kloof. This is 100 rand a kg. That's 150, 200, 250, 299 a kilogram. And I didn't have meat. So I said to my chommy, he actually proposed it. He said, what are you going to do with those two kapatas? You know, castrated goats, like a castrated sheep. Ram is a hummel, so a castrated goat is a kapata for people who don't know. I said to him, well, I don't know. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if you give me those two kapatas, I'm going to give them to my workers for meat. I'll give you two slagoya. I said, yeah, that's a deal. So he gave me the one. The other one is standing there. 43.5 kilograms is what it was butchered to. Nie uitgeslag, nie butchered. At the end of the verwerking. And the butchery charged me 120 rand. So that's, for 43.5, that's under 3 rand a kilogram. And that's about my price point, Marius. I've decided that I don't want to pay more.
Yeah.
Than 3 rand a kilogram for meat. So yesterday he said to me, I'm not going to make the deal so sweet next time. You're gloating too much. You're doing too much. You just the smile on your face is working on my nerves. And I said, I'll go to 350, but not beyond that.
Yeah.
So it's good, but you know, it's also not a joke to live on a farm these days. I live on a road that has 1, 2, 3 opstalle on it, three farmhouses, three farms. So it's remote. And when one of the neighbors heard from my Chom Louis that I was coming to occupy this opstal for him, he sent a message back, and I overheard Louis listening to it. You know, I was in kind of proximity, and he was playing the message, and this guy was saying, "Prys die Here in allerhoogste," and you know, the guy was going crazy. But that just shows you how frightened people are to live here. And we think that one of the laborers here is an intelligence plant because he's done some really strange things, you know, things that just don't fit. He he miraculously arrived here. He's not from this region. About a week or two after I committed to coming here, when I finally said, okay, you've persuaded me, you've convinced me, thank you very much, it's a great deal, I'll gladly occupy your opstal. Smiles all around. All of a sudden this guy appears. Okay, fine, sometimes you have coincidences in life, but he's done some very, very, very unusual, strange things that farm workers don't do, like very sneakily and repetitively trying to befriend the guard dogs of the farm. I say plural, mine and theirs too. And so we last week he rocked up on the farm with six other people, which is an absolute no-no, including three of the local bad boys. And I caught him eavesdropping on me. And the list goes on. I mean, this is just this weird behavior just doesn't end with this guy. So my friend inclines to the belief that this is a fear diefstahl operation, taking place before our eyes. But as I said, and we're not fighting about it with this piece, but I don't agree with him. My point is, what about all of the behavior that has got nothing to do with fear diefstahl? It's not about checking a place out. It's not about getting people onto the farm. It's not about it's other stuff. Eavesdropping, for instance. Why does some farmer who wants to steal sheep care about my telephone conversations? For that matter, my personal conversations, Somebody comes to visit the farm and repeatedly, on every single occasion that somebody visits the farm, if I may say so, a white person, he's got a reason why he has to be there. Either he has to trim the rose bush next to which we're standing, or he has to repair the roof above which we're brying. So, yeah, that's the farm story, Marius. It's very lekker. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'd love it if you wanted to come and visit and do some broadcasts from here. We're at the foot of the Bambusberg. So there's nowhere in the Drakensberg, in KwaZulu-Natal or the Eastern Highlands of the Free State that's more beautiful than the Bambusberg. It's exquisitely beautiful. The hunting is good. And I've got four spare bedrooms. I've got two wings to the house. I live in one wing. And the other wing has four bedrooms to it. So, it's a lovely...
Ons sal dit dalk een of ander tyd moet reël. Dan, Simon, ek het nou hierso in die nuus gesien, Floyd Shivambu en een paar ander EFF-manne het nou oorgestap na die MK-party toe. Het jy dalk 'n bietjie meer inligting of insig oor die saak?
Ja, man, excuse me if I'm just making a little noise in the background with a tissue. Marius, it's like this story that we were just talking about. I don't believe that this farm worker is an intelligence plant because I'm neurotic, hysterical, and paranoid. I believe that he is an intelligence plant because of repeated patterns of behavior that don't fit the central theme. What is the central theme? It's farm work. Now there's all this other stuff going on. And likewise, the MK EFF thing is not what people think it is, I think, not because I say differently. So Simon has an opinion, Marius has an opinion, Joe, John, Jack, George. It's not about betting an opinion on something. It's about observing repeated patterns of behavior. And when repeated patterns of behavior are destructive, then you know that they are deliberate, unless you're talking about demonically possessed or psychosis or something. If a normal, ordinary person with a sane mind produces repeated patterns of behavior that are destructive, you know that it's deliberate. So With the EFF and MK, we're seeing a whole lot of repeated patterns of behavior that can be explained only by one thing. And that was the strange revelation by Andre Pinal, the former head of the Hawks, who was trained, and this is not like some sort of suspicious thing. When they wanted to set up the Scorpions and the Hawks and what have you, they sought kind of openly the best training in the world, and these guys were trained by, I think MI5, not MI6 in the UK. It's not that they're MI6 agents. You could say, well, they are. That's fine, but that was not the original purpose. The original purpose was to establish a policing agency that had an intelligence capacity and a prosecutorial capacity, and they eventually elected, I believe if I remember correctly, that it was MI5. And he eventually left South Africa and opened a hedge fund in the USA, and so he's become this super millionaire guy. And he did, how long ago would it be? Maybe 9 months ago. He did an interview. He wrote an article, I beg your pardon, revealing that Jacob Zuma has been a Russian asset since forever. And that the establishment of the MK party was purely to serve a project, if you like, of the GRU, which is the Russian military intelligence, not the FSB, which was called the KGB and the NKVD before that, not the famous KGB, FSB, but the Russian military intelligence. It's the chief directorate of Russian military intelligence, GRU, GRU. And that came as a scandal, that article, you know, it was a big dramatic thing. And then he did an interview in which he explained everything. Very good. And then Professor R.W. Johnson happened to give an interview, and the guy asked him, what do you think of this crazy Andre Pinal story? He said, I also thought it was crazy. And then I went to my old communist buddies, and I asked them about this story, and they said, yeah, of course, man, it's a thing. He said, no, you are pulling my leg. They said to him, Russian military intelligence is so deeply embedded in South Africa, it's like they run the place. And in that, they gave him, Marius, I might have it open in front of me, the name of a website. Yeah, here it goes. amandla.site123.me/politics-opinions-analysis. And that website, which is not particularly good at all, but that's not the point, is apparently a Russian military intelligence website. And the Russian military intelligence has an enormous project in South Africa to keep South Africa on side. And South Africa is deemed by the Russians to be unreliable. The ANC is deemed to be, if I may use the word, a prostitute. That they'll go wherever the money is, and that they have no integrity and no principles whatsoever. And to the Russians, that was confirmed last year when they informed Vladimir Putin after weeks and weeks and weeks of wrangling that he wouldn't be allowed to attend the BRICS summit in Sandton at the Sandton Convention Center on, if I remember correctly, the 30th, 31st of August, 1st of September, or 30th, 31st, 1st and 2nd of September. following Victoria Nuland's visit to Pretoria, in which Victoria Nuland, the woman who famously started the war in Ukraine in 2000, I'm saying she, her initiatives began in 2013-14, she visited South Africa and she read the South African government, the American Riot Act, as it were. She read them the Riot Act. And they caved. Now, BRICS is first and foremost a creation of, it's not the idea of, the idea is, came from a guy who worked for a banker from Goldman Sachs, who wrote an article, and that inspired Vladimir Putin to found BRICS. It's his Tuesday poker night. It's his game. Imagine if I moved into your town and I heard that you guys play poker every Tuesday. I don't gamble, but this is a nice example. You and your chummies play poker every Tuesday, and I play poker. I'd love to play, but join you in poker. And you say to me, no, Simon, we're six. It works. Five doesn't, seven doesn't, no. And I keep on and on and on and on at you. And you say, you know what? We've all got six-seater dining room tables like most people. Eventually, 1 week, one of the guys can't play. And you want an even number. You get hold of me. You say, you want to sit in. I say, yeah, great, please, man. Gee. I play poker with you on that Tuesday evening. The next week, your friend, the other guy, has been admitted to hospital, and so it goes on. He's sadly, he's very ill, and you're short of a guy. Now I'm part of the team of your poker night. One night, I eventually say, I say to you, man, Maurice, please, why don't you guys ever want to play at my house? Come on, play at my house. Eventually, you give in. You say, all right, we'll have a go at your house. We shift one of the venues. And you come, or you want to play at my house, and my wife says, I forbid Marius on this territory. I will divorce you, Simon, if you let Marius here, because blah, 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 blah. And somebody said this about him. Somebody said, and he's a Saitlander. He's a blah, 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 blah. And I say to you, regarding your poker night, Marius, you can't attend. The door is closed to you. You would never forgive me. And that is what happened. But it happened at the highest level known to human endeavor, which is geopolitics. At the level of geopolitics, BRICS fighting the West. Here comes the African National Congress of glorious memory. It says, you can't come to your own party. The BRICS summit meeting, not a BRICS meeting, it's summit meeting. That means the meeting of the apex of the pyramid, of the highest echelon of the hierarchy, the capstone of the pyramid, the five BRICS leaders, the boss of Brazil, boss of Russia, boss of India, boss of China, boss of South Africa. And they say that the guy who started the Tuesday night poker thing, the Russian, he's not allowed to pull in. So R.W. Johnson, who was a professor at Magdalen College, Oxford University, a very, very highly thought of professor, a South African boy, but considered one of the all-time geniuses of comprehending how politics works, has said to us that it is absolutely confirmed that Russian GRU is behind all of this. Whatever you're seeing is because of them. And therefore, I say to you, by way of kind of ending this chat, that they seem to have, I don't know for sure, they seem to have reached the point where they've said to the EFF, we will make it worth your while to strengthen our initiative. Now, there'll be some people who will be saying, yeah, but you know, Julius Malema visited Lord Robin Renwick in London, and he's MI6, and he's, I don't know. For all I know, he could be a Freemason. For all I know, he could be a devil worshipper. I don't know. What I do know is this, that Julius Malema allowed Floyd Chivambu to announce his resignation at an EFF event. He was also, you can tell by his face, you know, he gives his emotions away by his face, old Julius, that he was somehow, I don't want to say, let's say at peace with, mentioning that Jimmy Manye and some others had already resigned, and that a whole bunch more people were busy resigning. You've got to have a lot of power and influence, like in the most global, supreme terms, to convince the head of a political party, a conceited, vain, egotistical, arrogant, self-important man, that it's okay, we're going to take your best guys. So I put it to you, Marius, by way of a synopsis, you know, kind of a one sentence summary, that what we're seeing is the continuation of a huge power move by what is arguably the most powerful, not necessarily richest, not necessarily this, not necessarily that, but arguably the most powerful country in the world right now. That's my take.
Ja, dit is nogal snaaks. Ek bedoel, as Zuma die ANC gaan, dan sit nou hofsake en internal fighting, en as hierdie na hierdie partij toe oorgaan, dan maak hulle sy naam sleg en alles, en dit is nogal snaaks dat hulle dit aangekondig het by een event, en selfs dat Julius Malema na die tyd self gesê het, Floyd Shivambu is vir hom soos 'n broer, en as hy ooit wil terugkom, is dit ok. Soos jy sê, dit het half op sy gesig gelyk, dat hy is ok met dit, hy is ok met dit, en dit is nogal snaaks, dat jy, nou dat jy dit ook so noem. Maar nou ja, Simon, net so een vinnige update miskien vir die luisteraars, ek sien hier paar artikels wat hier voor my oop is, Putin het klomp nuclear missiles en air defense system gestuur na Iran toe, dan, wat is daar ander gedeelte nou, Hezbollah, wat al klaar bezig is met missiele, sover ek het verstaan, met Russiese missiele wat hulle gekry het van Putin af, en dan ja, ek dink Amerika wat ook maar net vir Israel versterk, het jy dalk net so vinnige update wat jy kan gee vir die luisteraars oor wat daar in die gang is?
Ja, I think if anybody who's not on one of our WhatsApp groups wants to know what's cooking, the best thing that they can do is listen to last week's interview, your interview of me, I mean to say, you know. There's not enough time for me to do justice to your question. I will say this, that what's emerging right now is chilling to the bone. We discovered almost by accident, as I told you, that Russia has given Topol M the second most powerful nuclear ballistic missile to North Korea. We know that from different sources. We are seeing Iran take delivery, frantic delivery, frantic. It's unbelievable. You know, this air tracker app, to see the difference between the normal amount of traffic between Russia and Iran and the traffic of the past 2 weeks. I mean, it's just like chalk and cheese. IL-76s, IL-76s, Ilyushin-76s, just flying backwards and forwards. And so they've taken delivery of nuclear materiel. And the USA has sent, it's about 7,000 troops, 12 warships already there, 20 F-22 Raptors aircraft, and another 20 warships steaming to the Levant being that section, the Eastern Mediterranean, roughly Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and the Sinai Peninsula. It's getting very, very, very tasty, Marius. We are standing on the verge of an enormous catastrophe, a willed catastrophe. It is will. Yep. We know from our readings that this is meant to happen, that there's a certain cabal of people who are desperate for this to happen. You and I have spoken about the red heifers. I think I told you, I I'm not sure that, that they calculated that the red heifers have to be, or the one red heifer has to be the first one in 2,000 years. The last one of 10. And there were 9, according to Numbers 19, the Bible. And then for 2,000 years, a red heifer couldn't be found. They genetically modified one, or 5, but there's one in this conversation. And they've built the altar for the slaughter of it, and it has to be slaughtered. Now, I didn't know this within the next 6 months, and I learned only today through reading some really deep and terrible stuff that apparently the Jews expect World War III to break out sometime shortly, whether shortly means a day, an hour, a minute, a week, a month, I don't know. But certainly within a year. That's why I didn't say a year or two or 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Shortly after the 2nd of October this year. In other words, shortly after the new year for the year 5,785. We're in the year 5,784 now.
Okay.
So that's the best I can do. I don't want to take up much more of your time. I'm sorry for those people who didn't understand everything that I said, but if you had listened to 3 or 4 previous interviews, then it would kind of make sense. I can't do much better.
Ja, nee, dis hoekom ons die potgooi ook laai op Radio Goedervier se webtuiste, laat die mense juist kan teruggaan en van hierdie goed gaan luister as hulle dit dalk gemis het. Wel, Simon, weer eens, baie dankie, dit was interessant soos wat het gewoonlik is om met jou te gesels, en hoop ek jy geniet die rest van jou aand.
Thank you very, very much, Marius. It's my great pleasure to have these Thursday night chats. I thoroughly enjoy.
Ja, nee, ek geniet dit ook self en solang die luisteraars dit wil hê en solang daar iets is om oor te praat, kan ons gerus daarmee aanhou.
It's fixed up. See you next week, Marius.
Daar is Simon. Lekker aand. Bye-bye.
Lekker aand vir jou ook. Bye-bye.